Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill, the pastor of Providence Church, a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America located in Evansville, Indiana. It's great to have you here with me for a Thursday, September 16th, 2021. This is edition number 80 of season 4 of the Morning Devotional. We are currently working our way through the Westminster Shorter Catechism, looking at it both theologically as well as devotionally, seeking to apply these various truths to our Christian walk and life. Today we're going to turn our attention to the seventh commandment, but let's pray first and then we'll consider these things together. Our God in heaven, as we come before you, we come knowing that we are in desperate need of your grace and your kindness and mercy. We know that we are sinners, we fall short of your glory. We grieve the reality of indwelling sin, we grieve the ways in which we go astray. We're thankful for your law that guides your redeemed people and shows us that which you demand of us as those that you have rescued from darkness and placed into your marvelous light. We would pray that as we consider your moral law this morning, that you would be gracious to us, that we would understand, that you'd give us your Spirit. Forgive us for our sins and help us, Father, we pray for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, we are considering question 70 and 71 this morning. We're going to begin to look at the issues related to the seventh commandment. So question 70 of the Shorter Catechism merely asks, which is the seventh commandment? The answer is that the seventh commandment is, thou shalt not commit adultery. Question 71, as like the other questions, tells us the requirements that are therein embedded within that summary statement of question 70, which is found in Exodus 20 in verse 14. Question 71 is, what is required in the seventh commandment? The answer, the seventh commandment requireth the preservation of our own and our neighbor's chastity in heart, speech, and behavior. Now, we know that this is referenced here, the way it's referenced, because we are required to preserve our own chastity, purity of thought and mind and behavior, as well as that of our neighbors. Here we find, as we've begun looking at the second table of the law, we are dealing with matters that pertain to how we are to love our neighbor. And so it's not strange for the Westminster Assembly to add in that statement, our neighbor's chastity, in three specific areas, in the heart, in the speech, and in behavior. Now, oftentimes, the behavior side of the tripartite requirements of preserving chastity in these areas, the behavior side tends to get the most attention, doesn't it? When we think about the issue of adultery and its raw form, its most basic form, we are talking about sexual immorality, we are talking about that which happens outside the confines of marriage, or, if married, happens outside the confines of that marriage. That is, a husband or a wife engages in behavior with another person, not their spouse. But we also know that this is not merely the only issue that's presented here in the requirements of the seventh commandment. We are to guard our hearts, and we are to guard other people's hearts when it comes to purity of thought and mind and the purity of their own heart. We are not to be a stumbling block to trip them up. We are to be very careful of the things that we present and say, that's the speech side, to one another. This is to say, frankly, that we are to guard our hearts, even as Solomon has told us in Proverbs chapter 4. And there are many things in the world today that seek and compete with the mandates of God on this particular subject. Much of it comes through the eye gate as we watch TV or we watch movies, Netflix, Amazon Prime, you name it. Far too often we allow ourselves to watch things, see things, listen to things that are not consistent with this commandment. And it's vitally important that we recognize that our hearts in this issue, but in all issues, are not made of titanium. We need to be very careful what we allow ourselves to dwell upon. We don't excuse it. We don't pretend like it's no big deal. We don't act as though everybody else is doing it. So what's the difference? It's not really bringing me any harm, when the fact of the matter, it is. And so we are required to preserve our own and our neighbor's chastity and heart, which is the springboard, the fountain of all of our behavior. Speech, our speech reflects what's in our heart. And then our behavior, of course, reflects what's in our heart. And so these are systemic issues, one leading very naturally to the next. And if we're not careful to guard our hearts, we will fall in sin in our speech and in behavior. There are some specific passages that the Westminster Assembly uses to underscore these truths. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 2 to 3 and verse 5. There we read, "But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband." Earlier, right before that, verse 1, he says, "It is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman, but because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband." It's one of the safeguards that's embedded within the bonds of marriage. It's designed to protect one another from sexual immorality, violating the seventh commandment. Then he says in verse 5, "Do not deprive one another except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." And we know that this is one area that Satan exploits. He exploits it in many different ways in order to lead us into temptation and fall in these matters. And so marriage is a gift. It's one of the designs of marriage is to protect us from sexual immorality. That is within the bonds of husband and wife, that matrimonial union that occurs between a husband and a wife. We are not to use the privileges of marriage as a weapon against one another, to deprive one another, unless there's some specific cause for it, as Paul here has outlined. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 5, we read this, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." And then he goes on to explain that. "That you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God." And so one of the marks of growth in Christ, and there's many, of course, as the law is given to us as a guide and it helps us establish how we're growing in our walk with the Lord, is that we are exercising self-control in this particular area. It is an area that is, as I've already mentioned, is often used of the evil one to cause great damage in the lives of people. And so we must face the reality that it's all around us, but it's up to us, it's up to you to protect yourself. Satan wants you to give ground. Satan wants you to justify the movies that are watched. I'm not going to make rules for you. I'm not a legalist. I'm not a fundamentalist. But there are too many things out there, my friends, that we would do best not to look at, to not allow our minds to dwell upon. Even Paul says that in Philippians 4:8, these things that are pure and righteous and good. And well, let me just read the verse. "Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." And so many of the things that we allow ourselves to watch or listen to are not really within the bounds that Paul establishes here for Christians. And you'd be better off to evaluate. And we need to evaluate every single day. We need to evaluate our walk with the Lord in this particular area. Now, as I've done with the other commandments, I'm going to do again, beginning with tomorrow's episode, we're going to look at Larger Catechism question 138, which is far more detailed, of course, than the duties required in the seventh commandment. Now, I'm just going to read it for now, and then tomorrow I'll begin to pick a few out of it. I'm not going to go through it exhaustively, but just a few to help us think more clearly about these things and apply them to our lives. So the duties required in the seventh commandment, according to the Larger Catechism, question 138, is that the duties required in the seventh commandment are chastity in body, mind, affections, words, and behavior, and the preservation of it in ourselves and others, watchfulness over the eyes and all the senses, temperance, keeping of chaste company, modesty in apparel, marriage by those that have not the gift of continency, conjugal love and cohabitation, diligent labor in our callings, shunning all occasions of uncleanness, and resisting temptations thereunto. And so we'll pick a few out of this answer of Larger Catechism question 138 beginning tomorrow and look at these in a little bit more detail. But in the meantime, meditate upon those verses that have been offered and ask the Lord to keep you from temptation and sin in these areas. And in our heart, in our speech, and in our behavior, all of it needs to be framed and fashioned around the purity of God's most holy word. Well, I trust these times are helpful for you. If they are and you'd like to contact me, the way to do that is there before you on the screen. And so until the Friday edition, when we begin to look more at more details related to this seventh commandment, may the Lord bless you and keep you today. May you walk with Him. God bless.